Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
Baseball highlights from last night. Shohei walked it off.
Yeah, that's a pretty good team. Who's Shohei?
Some Japanese guys.
He
had a gambling problem.
Yeah, that's right. Him and his buddy with the gambling problem.
Yeah.
Let his buddy take the fall for it.
His boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah. They seemed like they were... I heard they were...
Quite close.
Quite close.
Sure.
Yeah, quite close. What did he call him? They called him something else. Oh, a translator. He called him a translator. Yeah. That's what it was. He called him his translator, but...
Just trans for sure.
Yeah, it looked like they were living together. I don't know. How long did that guy get? What was his sentence?
I don't know, but he'll be fine.
He'll be so fine. I mean, that's like a argument right there. Would you take whatever sentence he got without knowing for sure what awaits you?
Not if I didn't know for sure.
Okay, what if Shohei just gave you a spit in a handshake promise that I'll take care of you when you get out?
Yep.
It's at least, it gives him something to dream about while he's sitting in that small prison cell.
Yeah.
You know, trying to get by, trying to survive in prison day to day. But, and I assume that he went to prison here or in Japan.
So, yeah.
I don't actually remember. But you got to think that when he gets out, Shohei will take care of him. Well, maybe not, though. Maybe he hates him.
I mean, maybe if he really stole from him, then.
I still feel like there's something to that story. But maybe there wasn't. Maybe it's exactly as reported, and he just had a gambling problem, and he was able to steal this money pretending to be Shohei, and Shohei found out, he was pissed, he fired him, and then the translator goes to jail, you know? Maybe it's as simple as that. Just the parts where I get conspiratorial is the getting a hold of that kind of money when you're not Shohei. But he knew everything about him.
Yeah.
Ipe Mitsuhara was his name.
And how many, what do you get?
I'm looking right now, but... we said that name a lot at the time. It says allegedly stole $16 million. I mean, you know what? If he did steal $16 million too, your buddy might not forgive you for that.
No, for
you know,
sure.
It says, okay, there was a plea deal. He agreed to take two federal charges. This is saying $17 million. So, well, it doesn't say here what he's going to get for it. I read somewhere that he would get a couple years at least. The sentence for bank fraud is up to 30 years. Oof. Oh, God. Tax return. Okay, well, that doesn't seem so good. 30 years I'm not doing.
No.
But if they said if I took a plea deal and they're like, we'll give you a few years, especially if Shohei's saying...
Yeah, I'll take care of you.
Right. If
especially
that's what was
if
actually
you knew it was Shohei
on.
And you just took the fall for him, then of course.
30 years, there's no amount of money. Mm. There's really not. I mean, so especially for my age, I don't know that I'll be alive in 30 years.
Exactly. Like,
that's hardly
and
a
the
guarantee.
Money's not going to help.
Right. So it doesn't matter. But 4 or 5 years, Shohei takes care of you. Yeah. I mean, when this is all said and done, when Shohei's career is over... Even when it's over, he could end up being like Jordan with his brands and everything else. The amount of money. I wonder how much money he will have made just from his baseball salaries by the time he's done. Because I think we're talking like...
A lot.
Are we talking like close to a billion?
Close,
a billion?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I don't know. Has there been a player, a professional athlete, who's reached a billion from their actual contracts over the years? Their actual salaries? I wouldn't think so either, but I'll bet we're getting close.
I think Shohei's the highest paid ever.
Because now when you get to those richest, first of all, they break the record every year.
Yeah, 57 months, somebody said.
57 months? Come on. Come on. Would you do that?
I mean, you're talking 5 years?
I don't know. I'd need a calculator, but that sounds about right.
Yeah. 12 times 4 is 48.
You're going to get out early for good behavior, presumably. They never keep you. Even if you're not good behavior, they just let you leave. I think you have to, like, hurt someone in prison.
He's not going to do that.
To do your full sentence. So if they give you 5, you do, like, 3. Sometimes less.
Yeah,
I
do it.
You probably do 3 years. 3 years in prison.
But if he just said, I'll give you the $16 million, I'd do it.
Yeah.
Alone anymore.
If Shohei gave you the spit handshake, I'll take care of you when you get out here. Mm-hmm. If you were taking the fall from, like, that's
why it. Would
you take the fall? I don't know.
Is that like
a handshake deal? I don't think so. I think it's an American thing. I don't know.
Why do you keep saying it? So I assume, like if he spit.
Oh, because I was going back to that. I was like, I'm going back to making sure we're on the same page, which is what I mentioned earlier, the spit and a handshake. But the question is really, would you take the fall? If he did take the fall, which you don't think he did, you don't think there's anything conspiratorial, but would you take the fall for someone like him? And I think the answer for almost everyone is
would
yes.
Would you go to jail for 4 years?
To cover for Shohei.
For $100 million.
And you know that he's taking care of you, then
of course.
Yeah, you have to.
Of course.
I mean, I don't care what age your kid is, you have to tell your partner,
hey.
And if you are raising a kid completely alone, my kid's going to go in foster care for a few years.
Hey, we got this.
You're right. There are systems in place, and you know what? When I get out, you're going to appreciate it. Because remember, when we were young, just going back to the money thing, the richest person in the world, it was like, there were billionaires. Very few. I recall, there was like a very short list of billionaires. But when they talked about mega wealthy, if you got up to like $100 million, that was a ton of money. Because, I mean, hell, in the 90s, $1 million was still considered, you're rich.
That was the goal to retire.
Right. And blank check.
Right.
The kid writes the check for $1 million and he's got a castle, basically.
Right, yeah.
And maybe that was unrealistic at the time. I don't know. But the idea was we all fell for it. Like, yeah, $1 million. And I saw they put out Forbes put out their richest people thing yesterday and updated it. And I mean, I don't know if you obviously know who the richest person in the world is or if you have a guess. Because I feel like I've heard it, but then I also think when people say that, is he really? And is there some Russian oligarch who's actually richer, but they say Elon Musk.
Right.
They've got to get this, okay? Because these were numbers we definitely did not see when we were younger. $342 billion. I'd like $342 right now. That would help me out a lot, actually. But $342,000 would be life-changing. $343 million would make you so wealthy that it's obnoxious. How about $342 billion? And remember, all those little, if you have a hard time with a billion versus a million, go on YouTube, look up some of those visuals that they give you for comparisons where they explain the real differences to try and visualize the difference between a million and a billion. It's not like, it's not a small amount. Right, no, it's not. Not at all. Zuckerberg is second place, $216 billion. So we're still in the hundreds of billions. And then Bezos, and remember, Bezos got divorced and lost, I think, half of his wealth not that long ago. What was that, around COVID time? Maybe after COVID, but somewhere around 2020, Bezos went through that divorce and had to give half of his wealth over to his ex. He's now the third richest man in the world, and he's back up to $215 billion. Actually, that might be, for all I know, that could be the highest, the most he's ever been worth. And he was able to recover pretty quickly. So Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, those are three guys who are all in the hundreds of billions. And then there's Larry Ellison. He's also in the hundreds of billions because he's got $192 billion. He's the guy from Oracle. I hear name all the time, but I don't really know anything about him. Then the other guys, you know, Warren Buffett. Mm-hmm. $154 billion. Sergey Brin from Google, he's worth $138 billion.
If you spent $1 million every single day, it would take you 822 years to get to $300 billion. So if you did million to billion,
social media platforms,
right?
Yeah.
In time. So time, because we can all kind of reference that. A million seconds each equals 11.5 days.
Yeah, I love these.
A billion seconds equals 31.7 years.
That's one of my favorites. I think that helps really put it in perspective.
300 billion is 9,510 years.
Yeah.
The average American makes around $60,000 a year. To match 300 billion, you'd have to work 5 million years and never spend a dime.
5 million years.
Years.
Okay, good. Well, there you go.
What could Elon Musk buy?
Mm-hmm.
He could buy every NFL team, every NBA team, every Major League team, and every NHL team combined.
So he could buy all the pros.
Combined. He could buy all of them.
Yeah. Hell, he could probably buy at one of the leagues with that kind of money. I don't know what the NFL is worth. He might be able to buy the league.
This is crazy. He could build a luxury house in every single zip code in America.
I've seen that one before, every zip code. It's just America or the world? I thought it was the world.
America.
I guess America. Still, every single zip code. I mean, you're talking about however many luxury houses just here in the metro. I don't know how many zip codes are in the metro, but there's a lot. So that's a lot of luxury houses. Yeah, I've seen the one where they do it around the world, and it's like basically every major city. You could build a couple of houses in every city. A billion is a lot different than a million. But, yeah, Steve Ballmer, the old Microsoft guy, is richer than Bill Gates. He's worth $118 billion. Bill Gates is worth $108 billion. I don't know, do you make a lot of money owning a crappy basketball team? I really don't know that much about the NBA, but maybe he makes a lot of money on the NBA. Maybe Bill Gates is spending a lot of money on these nuclear power plants or whatever. But the guy that he brought in, his protege, is now worth more than him. Bloomberg, he's worth $105 billion. I mean, all these people, hundreds. We finally get down to the, you know, below, no, the last $100 billion, $101 billion, Alice Walton from the Walmart family. I don't know who Alice is, if she's a niece, a daughter, a granddaughter. I don't know, but she's worth $100 billion. Then after that, you get the guy from NVIDIA. You've got, I'm just trying to name people we know, Michael Dell, as in Dell Computers, $97 billion.
Right.
And who else might you know on here? I thought there was one more. Oh, the Julia Koch, daughter, I assume, or maybe she's the wife, widow, I don't know. $74 billion. Charles Koch, $67.5 billion. And, those are all the people that you know.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah. A lot of, I mean, we're down, they do 25 richest, right? The 25th richest is worth $59 billion. How many years do I have to go back to where $59 billion would have been the richest person in the world?
Not very far,
it's
Brian.
Not far.
No,
it's not.
Not far.
The Church of Laszlo.
So where are we at today? Well, 63% say, in the most recent polling, 63% of Americans say money can buy happiness.
Okay.
It's a tough question because it's really not, though, because you're saying, can it buy happiness? 100% it can. I mean, it can potentially. Sure. Does it always, I think, is what we really mean by that. Like, can it always get it no matter what your problems are?
No, it can't solve all your problems.
But it can.
But it makes your problems different.
It could make someone who's unhappy happy, which means it can buy happiness. I could be very unhappy specifically about not being able to pay my bills, and then suddenly have enough money, and I feel happy. Well, then, yes, it can buy happiness. But I assume people mean, like, you know, it can't always buy all forms of happiness. That's where you get the 63%. So what can it buy? These are the breakdowns, the things, and I'm curious what you think. The lowest thing on the chart here is good morals. Can it buy good morals? Well,
no.
No. But also, it doesn't need to. Because you can kind of get around having good morals a lot of times.
Well,
you've got
enough
money. Well, yeah, but
that kind of, in itself, when it asks that question, I think that's the that's the way to make us feel better about it, because we're like, well, I may not have billions, but I have good morals. Is that true?
Do you even?
You could be poor and have bad morals, or you could be rich and have good morals. Like, that it's not a bought or sold thing. And so I think when they ask these questions, it's like, well, you don't need $1 billion to do this. It's like, no, I don't. But, I mean, if I had $1 billion, doesn't mean I wouldn't.
Right. Right.
Right.
I don't know. I think a lot of the stuff about the American dream, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, all that stuff, it gets old sometimes. But one thing that I've always liked is that because of that whole ethos, this idea that we have about being a self-made individual and all that, that we don't necessarily, or at least we didn't used to, we don't respect someone just because they have money, especially if it came from their family. If there's family wealth, whereas it feels like in parts of Europe, you can be a very distinguished family that people highly respect, even though this wealth has been handed down for generations. Whereas here, we're like, well, you didn't do it. So you're a trust fund kid. You know, that's like, we scoff at that.
Yeah, we don't respect old money as much.
We really don't.
We are in awe of it, though.
We're in awe
of old money. Like, we don't necessarily care or know who the new Rockefellers are, but we are in awe of the Rockefellers. That name still means something, and we don't even know why.
Yeah.
Right?
Whatever it is. Right, yeah, exactly. Can it buy talent? Very few people said yes, only 6%, but my thing is it can buy people who will tell you have talent.
Well, I think more than that, it can buy, if you have average talent, it can buy people to get the most out of your talent.
That's true.
So people, right?
Average baseball talent.
Right. So you got a little bit above average baseball talent, but you're getting lessons from, you know, above average coaches.
Yes.
Right? So, right? I mean, take that for what it's worth.
And you have more time to practice.
Of course.
You have the best equipment. You have
better equipment, better facilities, right? I mean, we talk about that with club sports for kids.
Yeah.
Right? There are, and we know that. We know that there are kids out there that would be better at sports than people who make it to college to play sports, but they never had anybody show them how to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
right. To get the most out of their talent. So can money buy talent? Yeah, it can. It literally can, because you're born with the talent you have, but in order to maximize that talent, you probably need someone to show you how to maximize that talent. And if your parents or you don't have the money, then really good chance that you're not getting it.
Yep.
There's a reason why. So there's two reasons why. If you just think about, like, Ken Griffey, or like even in baseball now or football, you're like, look at all these kids whose parents played in the NFL or were Olympic runners, or, you know,
they have great genes.
Right. They have great genes. Great genes. Yes, they do. They were born with great genes. There's no doubt about it. But their parents also were able to teach them, this is how you run. How did you know that? Because my mom told me, and she's a gold medalist, right?
Yep.
Another kid's like just running. Nobody stops them, and it's like, hey, arms like this. Like, it's just, I don't know, this kid's running.
Exactly. So, yes, that's why they say, you know, on these answers, you can say to a great extent, not at all, or you don't know. And for talent, it was only 6% that said to a great extent, but 27% did say to some extent. I think that number should be higher, because to some extent, absolutely, money can help you buy talent.
Maximize your talent.
Intelligence, that's also low on the thing. But my thing is, people tend to believe that wealthy people are intelligent. I mean, they act like they're intelligent.
Look, rich
guys running for president. Rich guys and gals.
Intelligence goes to the same as sports or talent.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, if money can't buy intelligence, then explain to me the distinct difference in test scores from rich schools to poor schools.
Yeah.
Of course it can. If your kid's going to school every day and he's got really good engaged teachers and really good engaged student body, and then with that, an iPad and a MacBook, and
the
ability to get tutors after school, and the ability to have his lights on at home and not worry about where his next meal's coming from. You don't think that buys intelligence? Of course it does.
Right.
Of course it does.
Right. And I get what they mean. Like, you may not score higher on an actual IQ test just because you have money. But I do believe that people look, if they're looking in a room full of people and one of them is mega wealthy, they tend to take their advice more often than the poor guy says, maybe we should do this.
Well, sure.
You know? And so, you know, that's not actual intelligence. I get it, but it certainly helps.
Well, I think actual intelligence, I mean, you know, what are you measuring it by?
Right. Well,
if you're measuring it by
IQ
someone,
test, I guess.
Right, I guess, but that's a fallacy, I think, because If you have more money, someone who doesn't have that wouldn't have, you know, it doesn't matter, but wouldn't have read the classics.
No, they don't have time.
And understanding the idea behind the classics, what they mean, how it works, that can all be taught. So, you know, to say that intelligence can't be taught, it's just some sort of base grid that everybody takes the same test and then we figure out. No, that's not true.
And it can be self-taught. Right? And if you have time to self-teach, that makes a huge difference. Not sound like the Beatles here, but can it buy you love? I believe that absolutely, yes, it can. Because you could say, well, no, it buys you someone who pretends like they love you. I think that money can get you in the room with a lot of people, and eventually some of those people oftentimes probably do sort of fall. I think What's-Her-Face kind of does love Jeff Bezos. I don't doubt that. I'm sure she kind of loves him. She may even love him a lot. Yeah. I don't know. But I think that it's possible. Now, if you are totally unlovable, which is what this question would really be, then I guess no amount of money could make someone actually love you, I suppose. But God, it gets you in the room with as many people as you want, and I do think you can find love with it. It's a lot easier to find love with
it. I think one of the problems is you'd probably be always worried, do they really love me, or do they love my celebrity, my wealth? And then, so therefore, if you're doubting whether they really love you, then is it really love? But on the other side of that, there's a reason why celebrities marry celebrities a lot of times.
For sure.
And I think people are like, well, yeah, it is a closed ecosystem, but I think if you're looking at it from, like, you know, you're a celebrity and you meet another celebrity, well, now they don't need your money or your celebrity, and you still get along and you have a lot of the same problems, well, then sure.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that money can buy you love, but I don't necessarily know that it means you can't find it.
That's kind of what I think it helps. It helps, just like it helps with everything. Friendship, that was also low. Only 12% said it can definitely buy you friendship. I guess it depends on our definition of friendship. It buys you companionship, that's for sure. Actual friendship, okay, I suppose, maybe not. Now, the one that I really disagree with is respect, because they say it can't buy you respect. I mean, only 14% says it can definitely buy you respect. I think it can buy you respect. More often than not, I think it can buy you respect. You start off almost at a place of respect when you enter a room and you're rich. People seem to respect you. Now, you can lose that respect.
Yeah, that's the thing. But
I think you start with these people respect you because they're like, he's the rich guy, she's the rich gal in the room. A reason why they run for high office because they're automatically thought of as better than us. They are better than us because they're rich, especially if they made the money doing something themselves and not from their parents.
You certainly can't keep it.
You can lose that respect.
I would say it can't buy you respect.
You can lose that respect.
It can't. Because you may start at a place of respect with some people, but you can lose it super fast.
You could.
Therefore, you can't buy it back.
True.
You can't buy it back. So I would say respect is one that you can't buy.
True. Another one that really gets
you can buy obedience.
Yeah, that's true. And yes,
right.
Man.
And you can buy fear.
Yes.
Right? I can buy fear. You may not, and I think that, you know, you may not respect me, but you will effing fear me. You can buy that.
Yeah. Which is, you know.
I mean, it's close, but I don't think it's the same.
No, it's not the same.
I can buy fear and obedience, but I can't buy respect.
It'll work in a pinch, that's for sure. Happiness. Only 18% say to a great extent it can buy you happiness. What are you talking about? Obviously, to a great extent, it can buy you happiness. Like Daniel Tosh says, it buys you a Wave Runner.
Right.
It buys you cars, it buys you homes, it buys you, those things can help make you happy, and those things actually might be less effective at helping you to be happy, because they might make you feel empty, I don't know, but the feeling of dread that you have when you have bills hanging over your head, when you have money problems, when you're afraid you could lose everything, getting rid of that with money, that definitely pushes you in the right direction towards happiness. That helps to a great extent, I would argue, no doubt to a great extent, that can help make you happy. I just don't see how that number could be
also,
so low.
Also, it seems, yes, of course. But also, on the flip side of that is, you know, we always, and I've talked about it before, so I won't bore you with it, but we always talk of happiness like a current state.
Yeah.
And it's not.
No.
It's not. It's between minutes, sometimes seconds of like, oh man, I'm happy, and somebody walks in and says, you're fired. Well, damn.
Yeah.
Now I'm unhappy. I'm not in a current state of happiness. It changes on your drive home.
Yeah.
Hey, look at this. I'm going home. I got off early. Somebody cut you off. God damn it. Like, happiness ebbs and flows, and that ebb and flow is for rich and poor people. I will say that. Like, you can't make you cannot buy a consistent state of happiness.
No, but I do think that being rich is probably, you know, it's like the difference of being blind. If you lost your vision, you were able to see when you were a kid versus if you never I think there's something to that with money. If you're going to be rich, it's probably more enjoyable if you struggled for a long time financially so that you can really appreciate right. how great this is. Because if you never struggled with money, then it's kind of this foreign concept, really. Like,
It removes the direness of the bad times.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean you're happy.
Or that constant nag. If you have constant nag about how do I feed my kids, how do I do this.
But I'm sure Bezos was unhappy when he was going through problems with his wife. I'm sure Tiger Woods was unhappy.
But can it help to a great extent by happiness?
His wife was unhappy when she found out that he cheated on him. Like,
but it's not saying make you happy 100% of the time. Can it help to a great extent with happiness? And I would just say yes. And then I love these.
It can remove obstacles.
Absolutely.
It
removes a lot of them.
It removes obstacles.
Most of the ones we deal with. Yes. Legal immunity. Can it help with legal immunity? Well, yes, of course. But only 33% said to a great extent, 38% said to some extent, and 19% said not at all. Legal immunity, it can help. You got influence. They might drop charge. Look at that DA yesterday. Now, that's not even money. But money gets you that type of power and privilege. Right. And once you get there, you're laughing off cops. And
money gets you a better lawyer.
Exactly. It does all kinds of things. Social status, only 49% said to a great extent. What single other thing besides money helps with social status?
Right. Well,
I mean, that's the one. If you have a bunch of money, your social status skyrockets.
There's only three of them. To me, power, money, and celebrity.
That's it.
And usually, a lot of times
celebrity comes with the money. Yeah.
So you...
if you're rich enough, you become famous just for that.
Right.
I mean, so, yeah, that's ridiculous. And the final one is political influence. Only 60% said to a great extent. What... Have you never seen a movie? Do you never read the paper? Like, how do you think this stuff gets done? Have you seen why we have laws? Why we don't have certain laws?
Right.
I mean, come on.
You've never heard of lobbying?
Right. 100% it helps with political influence. Nothing helps with political influence more. Being a great orator does not help more than a lot of money.
No,
a lot of money is way more important.
That. Like, well, that guy made a really compelling argument of why we shouldn't do this. I'll give you $100 million. That guy's an idiot.
Exactly.
Like, that's it.
That's it.
The Church. The Church of Laszlo.
Because you should get misinformation from more than one source.
JFK assassination, the fake moon land, the Freemasons, chemtrails, CIA mind control, Area 51.
And the government vows to figure out what the heck is going on and sends drone spotting radar to New Jersey.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Yo.
Well, I'm sure you heard by now. Miller Gardner, the teenage son of Brett Gardner, the former Yankees player, died while on vacation in the Dominican. And originally they said he died from asphyxiation, from choking on his own vomit, that he'd gotten sick. The family went out to eat somewhere and they all weren't feeling well. And then they later said, no, that's not it. Just give us a little bit of time to do an investigation. And they said, we think, it could have been carbon monoxide poisoning. And now they're saying officially it was definitely carbon monoxide poisoning. There were lethal levels found in the apartment, hotel, whatever it's called.
Miller Gardner, the 14-year-old son of former Yankees outfielder Brett Gardner, died of carbon monoxide poisoning. Government officials in Costa Rica have confirmed the cause of death last night, citing toxicology reports. Miller died in his sleep on March 21st. The family was on vacation at a popular resort there. Earlier this week, officials said high levels of carbon monoxide were detected in the room where the family was staying.
Lazo, let me ask you something. With this story, because they followed it basically daily, and then they gave like the asphyxiation thing as soon as it happened, and then they came out and said, never mind, they're saying hold off on the asphyxiation thing. We don't think
it.
If this is the son of a former ball player, if that ball player were, let's say, a good player, but on a smaller market team, like a good player for the Royals, and his son died, would this story still be that big? I don't know if it's just because a young person died unexpectedly and that scares us, and they died on vacation, which is tragic. Sometimes I just don't know what makes things such big news stories and why other things aren't bigger news stories. You know what I mean? Is it just because it's like a snowball effect?
Brett Gardner is a household name.
No, that's what I say. Is it like because he played for the Yankees?
I think part is baseball and some sort of celebrity involved in it.
Yeah, you have to be.
Story if it was just me.
Okay, if it was a family of non-celebrities.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it'd be as big a story, but I still think it'd be a story.
It would be the story, we just don't get
the
updates.
We heard about people, getting sick.
Half his family died.
So we'd hear about it.
And they didn't know what it was, and there was some mystery there. So that was definitely a story. I was kind of surprised by all the updates that they got on this one, but you're right. They gave us updates on the other guy's story. So I told you in Kansas City, there's some local news because the city has decided they're going to implement new fees for people who participate in these sideshows, which is where, you know, these cars take over an intersection. They start doing burnouts. People pull video cameras out. And during COVID, when that really started to take off, one of the very first viral videos of a sideshow was filmed in Kansas City. And I think it was because there were cops there. And if you ever saw that video, I don't know if you did or not, but there's a cop who's kind of like standing in the middle of it at one point, like, hey, stop. Oh, yeah. Another cop who kind of tried to do something like he was going to give chase, and they're just like, I don't know. Because the people were basically, people were crazy during COVID.
Right, sure,
that was
yeah.
a crazy time. And the cops, eventually, it seemed like, were like, all right, well, I don't want to get hit by one of these cars.
Right.
And it happens all over the country. Part of the problem, I think, is that this is what kids have to do for fun. Maybe that's part of the issue, that they think this is their best option, is to go out and maybe there should be a place where they could do that. I don't know. Maybe there's a private property where they could go do burnouts in a parking lot.
I really don't know. We didn't do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Times have changed. It's not like I didn't have friends who drove and did donuts and that we didn't go fast down dirt roads with someone on the hood surfing. Like, of course we did that. We just didn't do it at the corner of 75th and Warren.
You didn't block off an important
like,
intersection.
That's where, like, I'm thinking, like, man, you younger people are bold.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how it works or how you stop it, but, like, you know, you kind of, I guess when I was a kid, we did all that same stuff. We just tried to get away from the cops.
Yeah, and if the cops came, you would have definitely driven off. Unlike these guys who seem to be like, oh, what are the cops going to do? But now the city said, all right, well, if you do this, we're going to try and hit you where it hurts, your wallet. We're going to fine you. We're going to tow your car, and we're going to jack up the cost for getting your car. And if you get in trouble more than once, it's going to cost more money.
Cars involved in street racing or sideshows will now have to pay towing and higher administrative fees. It's $500 for a first offense. A second is $750, while three or more offenses will cost you $1,000. Mayor Quentin Lucas said in a statement, quote, they're not just a nuisance. They're a threat to life and safety. These new fees send a clear message. Kansas City streets are not the place for stunts, high-speed exhibitions, or reckless behavior.
First offense, $500. Second, $750. Third, $1,000. I guess third or more, $1,000. If you told me that if I park somewhere in Westport this weekend, and I'm in one of those parking lots that says, you know, no parking, we'll be towed, and I find out my car got towed, when I go to pick up that car, if they told me, you know, with the fees and the tow, you owe $1,100, I would not be shocked. I'd be pissed.
Right.
But it's already incredibly expensive. When your car gets towed, you're not thinking about, oh, damn, the inconvenience. You don't have time to think about that.
Right.
You're thinking, I can't afford this.
Right, they're going to charge me.
I can't afford this. How am I going to be able to afford to get my car out of that lot? What a interesting gig, you know? Like, do those people with the tow trucks, do they buy, is that private property? They, like, buy a lot? And then they contract with the city and they say, hey, we'll park the cars here. It's not like the city owns those places, right?
No.
Like when we went and got your car out of that place.
With them, sure.
It's just some private place that contracts it, and they go out with the tow trucks. And I know sometimes tow truck companies get in trouble for ambulance chasing or whatever. There's different things that they can get in trouble for. But I don't even know that you have to be shady to make a lot of money in that industry.
Not.
It seems like my bully in school.
That's what he does now?
His dad owned a tow company.
You ever called you Boogerman?
His dad owned a tow company. And,
did he call you a Booger Boy?
Different guy. Though that's elementary school bullies. This is a guy who probably had reason to be mad at me, but then we ended up working it out. But I was very scared of him in the hallway.
Because you blew him?
He pushed me down the stairs one time. No. Nothing like that. Nothing like that. No,
you know. Are you scared of him right now? It sounds like you're scared of him now.
No, it's that we've made up. So I wouldn't want to now go on the radio and say something bad about him and him be like,
because
what the hell? I thought we were cool.
Because you're scared of him.
I mean, yeah, I'm scared of him, sure. I'm scared of most
right.
people.
I mean, like, if you weren't scared of him, you'd be like, I'll say whatever I want.
Think about my bully. Yeah, but there's nothing really to say. We like, if I saw him, I don't get scared. If I were to run into him, we'd say hi to each other.
But
I was scared of him for a long time.
But you would be scared of him if I kept going on about him.
Yes, if you said something bad about him, I'd be scared about him.
So you are scared of him.
Sure.
As a grown-ass man, you still are scared of your high school bully.
Well, I mean, I'm scared of, if he could beat me up. A lot of people could beat me up. There's a lot of people I don't want you talking
trash. Yeah, but you're a grown-ass man.
Yeah. Well, look, we made up. The point is, all I was saying was,
you are still scared of your high school bully.
His dad owned a tow company, and now he owns it, I think, and they seem to do pretty well.
I you still think about it.
Look, man, if you got bullied in school, that stuff sticks with you. When you hear those names, it sends a little bit of a shiver. You go, oh, the hair's on the back of your neck. Do stand up a bit. It's just, I'll ask any of my friends who got bullied. If I bring up, some of them got bullied by the same guys. If I mention those names, I know they get that same feeling. Even scared. If it's just quick.
Like, and they're like, don't say anything.
And some of them never made up, so they wouldn't want to run into those guys now. Even though those guys have no idea.
Those guys are in their 40s.
I know.
You think they're going to attack you? Are they going to push you down? Call you a booger eater?
I don't know. I ran into one of my bullies at a Walmart one time.
Man?
Waiting in line to get a car battery. And I was like, oh my God. I got in the line. I was behind him, and then I realized it was him. I was like, oh, my God, I have to get out of this line. Yes, I was scared. He wanted to kick my ass.
You thought he would turn around and fight you?
He wanted to.
20 years later?
No. I mean, this wasn't that many years later. This was like, I was maybe 19 or something. It hadn't happened that long ago. But I was definitely still scared, and I tried to kind of get out of the line. And as I moved, sure enough, he turns, he sees me.
What's
he
say?
And he goes, oh, it's you. And I'm like, oh, God damn it. And he goes, look, man, you know. I was just messing with you. I was pissed at you at the time. You did run over me with your car. But I was mostly just messing with you after that, trying to scare you. I'm like, well, you know, it worked. As I'm, you know, wetting my pants during this conversation.
Oh my God,
and he's like,
man.
We're cool. Oh, well, Lazo, I'm so smaller than everybody, and these guys were known to beat guys up. And,
you're
tall.
Like 6'3".
Some of these guys were tall, too, though, and they're a lot bigger.
You're like 6'3".
And I'm 6'2", and
well, I don't understand.
These guys were bigger than me. I was very, very
what a weird world you live in where you're strong. Just going to Home Depot and you're scared of dudes who were mean to you 30 years ago.
Well, I was a small person, and yes, those you still have those associations with some of those people. You see a face, you go, oh, that's my bully's face. I'm sure there are people listening who had bullies who, if they ran into their bully now, it's not so much that you're scared, it's that you still get that feeling of like, oh, God. You don't want to see him, that's for sure. It's not like, oh, who cares?
Well, I don't think that you're going to a party at their house, but I can't imagine just, like, right now being
turning
like,
and
oh,
walking
I'm a little
the
afraid.
Other way. Turning and walking
a little
the other
afraid
way.
Of
I want
guy.
To walk away from that person. Yeah, maybe even a little afraid. Well, you know why you should be afraid of bullies? Here's a perfect example. A teenager,
I say we get out of your system. Let's go kick his ass.
I don't want, we get along now. My dad and
doesn't
his
matter.
Dad were friends.
Who cares?
So. No, we get along. That's,
let's figure it out. You got to do it. Me and you will go together. I'll help you.
I don't want to fight anybody. Thank you very much. People get hurt in fights.
We'll
and
jump
I have a news story that'll prove that to you because this kid, 17 years old, he is the MVP on his football team. This is a town, I think, outside of Dallas, somewhere in Texas. He's the MVP on his football team. He's got perfect grades. They said almost perfect grades, like 4.0 or something. It's a National Honor Society student, very popular, and a twin brother. He plays football. He does other things, very athletic. He apparently participates in track, and at a track meet, he gets into some sort of fight with some other kid, and this kid stabs him in the chest and kills him.
Oh, no.
His twin brother's there and tries to break it up.
But
by the time he... No, but the brother who wasn't attacked literally was holding his dying twin brother in his hands, and he died in his arms. He sat there. He was trying to like stop the bleeding of his brother, and he died in his arms. Is that not the worst
Wednesday
thing?
Wednesday morning, Austin Metcalf was at a track meet at Kirkendall Stadium. Around 10 a.m., Frisco police say 17-year-old Carmelo Anthony stabbed Metcalf in the chest after some sort of fight. Jeff Metcalf says it was Austin's twin brother, Hunter Metcalf, who tried to save him.
And his brother...
That's a dad.
Was holding him, trying to hold the blood in, and he passed. My son watched his brother die
in
his
arms.
Right, can't imagine. That's why you shouldn't get in fights.
Well, I didn't say we're going to stab anybody.
Yeah, but we don't know what he's going to do, okay? We don't know what he's going to do.
So you're scared that I'll be holding you?
I don't want that for you. Yeah, I don't want that for you. You know, I don't want to get stabbed. I also don't want you to have to live with that.
If it happens between me and you, I mean, we're good. I'm not going to.
You're not going to hold me if I get stabbed?
I mean, I will, but I won't
feel
that bad.
You're the one who wanted to go fight this guy in the first place.
I don't want to just say I won't feel as bad as that guy did.
You should feel worse. You're the one who called my bully and said, let's fight. You two are going to fight.
I love you like they loved him.
You would understand that it's very sad for someone who does love me.
I understand that story made me feel really bad. It almost made me cry.
Yeah.
The dad talking about it, yeah. But I'm just saying, I wouldn't feel that bad if you got stabbed.
And his son held his other son in his arms.
I know, it's horrible.
Yeah, so you shouldn't get in fights. It's dangerous.
But I wouldn't.
Bullies are dangerous.
Feel that bad if you got stabbed.
I got you. You made that very clear.
The Church of Laszlo.
Because you should get misinformation from more than one source.
the JFK assassination, the fake moon land, the Freemasons, chemtrails, CIA mind control, Area 51,
and the government vows to figure out what the heck is going on and sends drone spotting radar to New Jersey.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Yo.
Yo.
All right, give it to me.
All right, so Elon, you know, a rich guy. I don't think that his money helped buy him any influence. I think he's just a likable guy, and people want to be friends with him. And he and Trump created, yeah, he's very cool. And people like to be around coolness. Cool. Yeah, he's kind of a fashion icon. Mm-hmm. He's kind of just everything he does, you want to mimic. Exactly, exactly. Just walks into a room and doesn't, even if he was dead broke, doesn't matter. And, you know, I think he's also very smart. So Trump's like, hey, you know, I don't care that you're rich. We need to save some money around here. Why don't we get the smartest guy I can think of, Elon, to come in and run this? And they call it Doge, right?
Yeah.
Some people are like, hey, he gave you like $1 trillion, you know, to help get you elected. Now you're letting him do all the stuff. Well, Trump's saying, hey, don't worry. He will be gone soon. He'd already said that he'd have to be, or they'd already said he'd have to be gone by the end of May because he's not an actual member of the administration or a government official. So there's some name for that. I think they say in the story. But Trump apparently was whispering to people close to him that Elon may be about done. He might be. I don't know if he's kicking him out or what.
Amazing, but I also think he's got a big company to run, and so at some point he's going to be going back.
The president informed cabinet members Musk would leave his role in the coming months. Musk, who's a special government employee, is limited by a term of 130 days. After campaigning for Trump and spending more than $250 million, the tech titan came to Washington to create and head the Department of Government Efficiency, tasked with slashing federal spending.
You know, I don't know a lot about politics. It does seem, just as a regular run-of-the-mill dumbass citizen, it does seem sort of messed up that people can give that much money to a presidential campaign, you know? I mean, but I don't know. What are you going to limit? Are you going to limit it, you know? Next thing, you're going to start...
Now, what's the limit?
Taxing them exorbitant amounts to try and keep them from getting $1 trillion? Like, I don't know. I don't know. Then they'll all move to Ireland.
I don't have a lot of answers. Because that number, whatever it is an arbitrary number.
Because they'll find ways around it.
But then you say 2,500. Yeah, of course. And then if you say 2,500, well, then, you know, what does it do? It just makes the elite class more.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's still people who can't afford to give $2,500, right?
Yeah, true.
So I understand that there's less and less and less, but it still makes the elite class more. I don't know that there's any sort of, you know, right answer. It shouldn't be unlimited, but however you do it, you know, unless you just said, you know, everything has to come at, you know, a $2,000 maximum, and it can only come from citizens.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess.
Or none whatsoever.
But then you just have rich people that can afford to run.
Right. Then you'd have, right. That's so, the other thing. So now, if you limited it to $2,000, then, okay, then are you, then does just Elon Musk run?
Right.
Because you can't limit his money.
No. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So it's like, how do you limit it without ending up kind of in the same spot? Because now, if you limit it or you say none, then you just have, you know, Elon versus Soros.
Yeah.
Right? Mark Cuban versus Elon. Is that what you want? Because now they're the only ones who can spend it? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. That's why I was just a dumbass citizen. It just seems like, yeah, one thing I do know is he gave Trump a lot of money. That's that's a lot of money. Every time I hear it, I'm surprised again all over. Like, wow, that's a lot. So, squatters. The laws are, I guess, slightly different cities, states, but I don't know if it breaks down by city or not, but certainly it can vary depending on where you live. But a couple in Chicago, on the south side of Chicago, they have a home that they spent some money rehabbing. As a matter of fact, the woman said that she spent $150,000 rehabbing this property, doing quite a bit of work to it. And last week, she goes out, she wants to show this property to a potential buyer, and she's got a realtor with her. When they show up, a dog comes running up in the backyard, barking at the fence. I'm like, whose dog? Then they find out that there's some couple living in this house. And they moved their stuff in. They moved their dog in. And they also presented some sort of paperwork that says, look, see, we bought this house fair and square. So the question now becomes, the people who are in this house, were they scammed? Or did they go on ChatGPT and say, print me up something that looks like an agreement, some sort of real estate document?
They bought it from?
But because the number that's on the real estate paperwork is the wrong house. It's not the right house at all. And no, I have not heard. I don't know how much the media has been able to talk to them, or if they've been able to actually get an interview with the people living in the house or not. But they've definitely been talking to the people who own the house, and they say that when they called the cops are like, they're living in there. I can't kick them out because they're living in there. And this story has made it to a state representative in Illinois who said, yes, I've got this bill. I want this thing passed. Once passed, then it would make it easier for cops to kick people out of homes that they don't have a right to be in, which is just crazy to me that they can't already.
Right.
Kick people out. Homes that they don't have a right to be in. Like, if I rent you a room, even if we take it to that thing, like the Netflix thing, and I say, I don't want you in the house anymore, especially if I sign some sort of contract, I could see that the state or whatever says you have to give them a month's notice, maybe.
Sure.
Unless they're like a threat to your safety. Okay, I'm fine with that. But you just say, hey, they haven't paid rent since they moved in here, which is what all those people in the Netflix thing did. None of them ever paid rent. It was always a scam. They never planned on paying rent. They get in there, and then it's just like, now they just live here.
It's such a weird thing, though, because we don't do that with anything else.
No!
Like, and even you, hey, I get it if you had to give them 30 days. And by the way, I do too, but we don't do anything else. Like, my boss could come in here right now and be like, yeah, we're firing you.
Yeah.
Pick up your last check. That'll only cover till today. They don't say, like, there's no other system where I'm just screwed, where the government comes in and goes, like, look, don't screw them that bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No.
No.
It's
just
a
this one.
Squatting thing. It seems to be unique to housing. And I will say that some of those laws do protect you.
Like, if you told me, hey, they're going to pass a bill that says if they're going to let you go, they have to give you 30 days notice or 30 days severance. Like, I'd be like, okay,
yeah,
that sounds good.
Yeah.
Let's do that. But we don't have that.
No, but I do think some of this stuff is well-intended and can potentially help people who are falling on hard times and they can't pay their rent or if they can't pay their mortgage, and then it gives them some time. Hey, instead of just coming and saying, like your boss would, like, get out of here right now.
On our Twitch, twitch.tv/searchalizzo, Crackman says cops can't do much because it's a civil thing, not a criminal thing. Why isn't it trespassing?
Exactly.
Why isn't that a criminal thing?
Seems like a danger to my safety.
More.
You got someone in my house.
Right.
If there's someone breaking into my house, I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to call the cops. And I tell the cops or someone in my house, they don't say, hey, that's a civil thing. You know, if you want to file a lawsuit when the court's open tomorrow.
Yeah, and I guess I don't understand how it works anywhere, because you hear of people squatting, but then I also see, like, you know, people getting all their stuff moved out onto the sidewalk by a sheriff.
Yes.
So how does that work?
Well, usually, though, depending on where they are, but usually, though, they did have a certain amount of time and warning. So maybe they hadn't paid rent or their mortgage for months and months before the sheriff finally came and said, right, now you have to leave. And that's what I'm saying. I think a lot of this stuff was well-intended, and I think it does probably help people who fall on hard times. But it's gone too far when squatters can come in, when a scam artist can quote-unquote, rent a room and never actually pay you any money, and you can't get them to leave. That's a problem. And that's why they're trying to change the laws in places like Illinois.
Someone is in my house saying that they moved in a month ago.
Marcia says she came by her property to show it to a prospective buyer. She says a family of three and their dog had moved in. She and her husband came back with police. They say a woman claimed that she bought the home back in February and was the new owner.
They said, we've been here for a month. I said, no, you haven't. She's trespassing on my property.
But the couple says police still wouldn't remove them.
Oh, you're both victims. We can't make her get out.
You're both victims.
Well, if she did think she bought
the
house.
If she was scammed,
which
right.
I mean, I can't, you know, you could do that scam.
People have done it, and I've heard of it.
I've read about it.
Yes, it has happened.
There's news stories where you say, oh, look, this house is empty.
Yep, and you sell it.
You put up for sale by owner.
Create some fake paperwork,
right,
and you sell it. It's kind of like when my grandmother got scammed to buy swampland in Florida thinking she was buying beachfront property. It just evolved over time, and now with AI, you can create, yesterday we were talking about how in the news there's all this stuff about people making fake receipts out of thin air with AI and using those receipts to take to their bosses and get expensed money. Like, hey, this is how much this cost. I went out and got that stuff. You owe me this much money. You know, and I'm sure there's myriad more possibilities and problems that could arise from having fake receipts. But now if I went on ChatGPT or Copilot or one of those, I'm sure I could say, create me documents that look like license, you know, a rental agreement, or that look like a mortgage agreement, whatever. Print one up. And no one ever reads those. If you've ever bought a house, when you sit down, it's a book. They flip through it. They put stickers and they say, here's where you sign, here's where you sign, here's where you sign, here's. Because you sign about, I don't know, 100 times or something. It's a lot of signatures. If you were to actually read that, you'd be there for weeks and weeks. So if you were to print something like that up and it was halfway decent, you could trick people into thinking, yeah, I'm legitimately selling this house. The question is, the woman in the house with these family members
rent,
and dog.
Yeah, you're doing it for rent, easy,
did,
too.
Yes. Did these people actually
like,
get scammed?
Like, you don't want to try to scam for that much. Just be like, all right, you know, first and last month's and a security deposit.
Yep.
You know, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, give them a sign for it, give them some keys, and drive away.
And we have seen those stories. Those stories do exist. The thing
and
that
I feel like that would be easy.
It seems a lot easier.
You know, you just show up and you're like,
I don't have to have a bank office or any of that.
Yeah,
right, right. It seems like
here's the keys. If you hand them the keys and here's a rental agreement, you can print a rental agreement.
That's it, and it's little.
Yeah.
It's much easier to do.
You can do it on LegalZoom.
Just give me the check, give me the cash, whatever. The thing that makes me suspicious about this family that's living in the house is that when the media tries to talk to them, they're not talking. I feel like if you got scammed, you would be talking to the media and saying, I don't know what happened. Here's our agreement. You know, we bought this house for X number of dollars. And
You'd be pissed.
You'd be pissed. And you'd be scared instead of not giving comment. Now, maybe they have given a comment to someone now. In the story that I just played you a clip from, in that story, because that's the local news, the ABC affiliate that couple went to try and get attention for this. And that outlet tried contacting the people living in the house, and they didn't want to talk. So maybe they have now. Maybe they did get scammed. I don't know. But either way, seems kind of crazy. And then Hollywood news, I told you.
Okay.
You know I'm a Tarantino fan.
Sure.
And Tarantino's only got one movie left. And there was all these rumors.
You used to have a Pulp Fiction sticker on your truck.
Yeah, I did. There's a
movie. Like a big one. I'm not just saying, you know, like a drawing.
Yeah, it was the image that people have the t-shirt of Vincent and Jules holding up the gun. Yeah. So he's got one movie left. There's been all speculation. When's he going to do it? He says he's in no hurry to do his last movie. But
got a
he was
of Bing
on.
Rames in a compromising position in your kitchen.
Yeah, that's what it was. He was on
Don't
someone's
you,
podcast.
You
no, that's not me. He was on someone's podcast. Who was it? Tom Segura, I think. He was on his podcast a year or two ago talking about how he'd written this treatment for like a series on Netflix, and that became big news. Oh, that doesn't count as his last movie. Maybe Tarantino's going to take a break and do series and that sort of thing. What I did not see coming was this, because he wrote a book after Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And he, you know, as a movie buff, loved the idea of doing a book after the movie like they used to do back in the 70s and 80s, where a movie would come out and then there'd be a novelization of that movie.
Okay.
And a lot of times in the book, to make it a full book, they had to add quite a bit of extra stuff. So he made a book about Cliff and Rick from Once Upon a Time and added all these backstories and gave you the whole thing. It's a good book. And you're thinking like, man, a lot of this dialogue would be so great on film, Quentin dialogue, you know? But I did not think that we would see a sequel. He doesn't seem like a sequel kind of guy, let alone the idea that Quentin is now saying there is going to be a Once Upon a Time in Hollywood sequel, but Fincher is going to direct it. So he's going to have Fincher direct. It's written by Quentin, but we don't know who's going to play these characters. The idea that it would be Leo and Brad Pitt and all that variety.
Well, that's interesting, because I always thought like, well, okay. I'm not as big a fan as you, but I watched it. The sequel, to me, the story was about the time in L.A.
Yeah.
The time in Hollywood.
Yes.
So if a sequel could be completely different people and have it be the 80s or the 90s or whatever of that Once Upon a Time in L.A.,
I kind of assumed that maybe this is going to be like the book, where it's really an expansion of that universe. You get more details about these guys, you know, and we're going to get kind of some backstories and all that. I don't know, because I literally did not hear about it.
A completely different story of a time in Hollywood.
It could be. I mean, they're calling it a Once Upon a Time, and they're talking about the characters and saying that it's unlikely that the characters will be played by the same actors. So they're assuming that the same characters will be in it, but they are calling it a Once Upon a Time in Hollywood sequel, and saying we don't know if Brad Pitt will play, you know, Cliff. We don't know if Leo will play Rick, but most likely they won't. Well, maybe they don't actually know if those characters are even going to be in it. I don't know.
My hands are registered as lethal weapons. That means we get into a fight, I accidentally kill you, I go to jail.
Anybody accidentally kills anybody in a fight, they go to jail. It's called manslaughter.
So there you go. Now, they've said Leo, again, not confirmed to be in the sequel. Brad Pitt, not confirmed to be in the sequel. But just the fact that Fincher will be doing something. You know, Quentin has written, that's how he started, and like he wrote True Romance, which also became Natural Born Killers, was the second part of that. So we've seen other directors do his stuff before, but really, once he did Reservoir Dogs, he kind of wrote his own stuff. He wrote and directed his own stuff. I love the idea of taking another actor, especially someone legendary like Fincher, and having Quentin write it. This is
it'd be great, right?
It's exciting.
The Church of Laszlo.
Okay, so this teacher, I think we talked about her last week, maybe it was when you told me, or maybe it was Monday, I don't remember. But there's this teacher in Illinois who's been accused of having an inappropriate relationship with a student. She's 30 years old now, but she would have been 28 at the time of the alleged abuse. Right. This all stems from a concerned parent. A mom finds messages on her son's iCloud account between he and a teacher that were explicit in nature. There were apparently explicit things shown and said. I mean, one of the things that was said was, allegedly, was from the teacher saying, "I love you so much, baby. Even though this morning was short, it was perfect." And they talk about having sex in this classroom and whatever. Now, she's a special ed teacher. She's also a volunteer soccer coach. A lot of the headlines said that she was a soccer coach. But she's a teacher, volunteer soccer coach, and she taught special ed specifically. This stuff is alleged to have happened a couple years ago. Like I said, she's 30 now, and she would have been 28. The kid would have been 15 at the time that this happened. She is hot. And
is he special needs?
They don't say. They just, you know, because they don't say anything about him, and they always keep his name out of it, so they just call him the victim. But they do mention that she's a special needs teacher, so I got the impression that he was. She's used her attractiveness as a defense. She said that she's too good looking, and that's really the problem. She said everybody comes after her because she is good looking, and she's just a good person who cared too much about the victim. And she is hot, and we said when we talked about it, you kind of know when someone's hot when they look that good in a mugshot, because she looked pretty good in the mugshot. Then you see the pictures of her from social media, and you're like, wow.
Yeah.
Wowza. And also, you know, she talks about being too hot. She's not wrong, because we've said that for a long time. Ever since these scandals started popping up, there's no need to have hot young teachers in a high school setting.
15, 16, 17-year-old guys.
Just doesn't need to happen. Because at least if there's someone else who has a desire to assault a kid, if they're old and ugly, it's going to be harder for them.
Sure.
You know? It just is. I don't know what happened here, but obviously people joke and say, oh, this lucky kid. Obviously, it's rape. It's totally inappropriate, and it's the sort of thing that we thought didn't happen when we were young because we never heard these stories. Now, we're starting to think that maybe these stories were just not discovered as often when we were young. Cell phones are a huge reason why these relationships get busted. I mean, in almost every one of these stories in the last 15, 20 years is because someone found something on a cell phone. A parent went through their phone, looked at their social media, whatever. We didn't have that when we were kids. So maybe those rumors that I heard about the hot teacher sleeping with students were real. And I also, in that Rolling Stone article years ago about, you know, where they caught up with guys who had sex with teachers because they were trying to push back on this idea that guys, it's different. They're lucky if they have sex with a hot teacher. And in that article, they talked to those guys. One of the things they mentioned was that their parents didn't want to go public, essentially. They didn't want to fight because they didn't want their kid's name out there in the public. Sure. And then this happening, you've been accused, whatever the teacher might then say about the kid. They just thought it was embarrassing and they wanted it over. And sometimes they might go to the teacher directly and say, hey, stay away from my kid.
Right.
But it's just a different time. And now, of course, you would absolutely, I would think, alert authorities. You've got evidence right there on your phone.
I'm trying to think, like, what would have happened if I did have a teacher that I slept with when I was 16. I don't think
what your parents would have done?
I don't think my dad would have thought to go to the cops. I'm being honest. Like, I think he would have talked to her and said, you know, if you ever touch my kid again, you know. But he may have threatened to go to the cops. I don't think he would have went right away.
My dad would not have gone to the cops. My mom probably would have. She would have told the school. She would have told someone at the school. I don't know if she goes to the cops.
My dad may have wanted a meeting with the lady and the principal. But I don't think he'd go to the cops by himself. I really don't.
I think my dad would have been like, I don't know if that's such a good idea. I know you think she's pretty. And she is very pretty. But this is probably not. And she could get in a lot of trouble.
Oh, my dad wouldn't have talked to me about it at all.
Yeah, mine
not at all. He wouldn't have said a word.
I don't know.
He would have just been mad at her.
Yeah, yeah. My mom definitely would have been mad at the teacher, but I'm with you. I don't know if she goes straight to the cops or not or what she does. But I could also see my mom, if I say, like, Mom, don't go to the cops because then this is all going to be public. It's going to be in the news. I could see her maybe being like, yeah, let's not do that. But you better stay away from this teacher. I want to make sure you're not in that teacher's classroom anymore. Something like that. So anyhow, this teacher, she's used her looks as a defense, like I mentioned, saying that she's good looking and just too good a person. And this kid took advantage. Her defense was that when she wasn't looking, this kid was grabbing her phone, using her passcode or whatever to get into her phone, and then sending himself these explicit messages and whatever else so that he could blackmail her. I don't see anywhere where she said what he was trying to blackmail her
with. Good grades, I mean.
Right, like maybe just get a good grade. Sure. But she did say that he was trying to blackmail her. So now they've released the body cam footage of when she gets arrested. Now, this woman's married. There were pictures went all over the news a couple of days ago when the story came out.
What's her name?
It looked like her husband was Christina Formella, Formella. Her husband looks like he was an athlete. There were pictures of her standing there next to him. Looked like he was maybe on the baseball team. I think it said they were college sweethearts or something like that. So she is married, and her husband were in the car together when the cops decided to arrest her as part of a traffic stop. Now, in the body cam footage, it looks to me like maybe they made it to their house, but it could be that they're in someone else's house. I don't know. It looks to me like they pulled up into a driveway. But the cops pull up. Now, she has, keep in mind, let's say this teacher is guilty. If the teacher is guilty, there's still a very good chance that she doesn't know what this is about because it's alleged to have happened 2 years ago. So even if you regretted this and you were scared and you had a hard time falling asleep because you thought the cops were coming, probably after 2 years you think, I guess I'm not going to get in trouble for this. So when the cops pull you over, you may have an idea, but I don't know that you know for sure because it's been a couple years. But it certainly would be on your mind. Now, if you didn't do it, if you actually didn't do this, if let's pretend like she's telling the truth and this kid was somehow getting into her phone. Well, then, yeah, you'd be extra confused. If she is just pretending to be confused, she's doing a good job because the cops pull over. And the thing is, man, the cops won't tell her why they pulled her over. They ask her to get out of the car. They ask her to turn off the car. She asks, like, you know, should I get my license? He's like, oh, yeah, get your stuff. And she's like, yeah. Then he eventually tells her that he's going to have to take her in. There's an investigation, but it's not his investigation, so she'll have to learn more when she gets there. I mean, dude, you know how I am if I get called to the boss's office.
Right.
Just the walk from here to the office is almost enough to kill me. If you come to my house and don't tell me why I'm in trouble, and then you cuff me and put me in the back of the car, and in the car, I start saying, hey, can you give me some idea? And you're like, mm-mm. I don't know that I survived that trip down to the police station. But that's the situation she was in because they would not tell her.
You're Christina?
Yes.
Okay, Christina, do me a favor. Can you step out of the car for me? I know you're confused. I'll explain everything to you. You don't have anything on you. You can just grab whatever you need.
Whatever I need?
Yeah, whatever you need. Like your phone, your purse, go ahead and grab it.
And like I said, her husband's sitting over there.
Now, is she outside of her house?
It looked to me like she's outside of her house, but it doesn't say it. Just says that it's a traffic stop, so maybe she pulled into someone else's driveway, but it looked to me like she made it back to her house. But they're calling it a traffic stop.
They're probably waiting for her by her house.
They could be. And that's you'll hear her husband in the background asking questions.
Is she going somewhere?
We're going to explain everything to you guys.
I don't understand what's going on here.
I get it, yeah. You can go grab your things.
Can you come with me?
Yes, yes. We do have an investigation going on. We have to talk to you about it at the police department, okay? So we're going to spend everything to you there. It's not my investigation. I don't know the full details. We do have to bring you there, though, okay? So I do have to put you in handcuffs and bring you to the police department. Just a
handcuffs?
Trip. Yes, unfortunately, yes.
I'm, like, willing to go with you.
I get it, yeah. Unfortunately, we have to do it that way.
Am I in trouble?
Now she's in the car. And by the way, I've cut this way down. The video's several minutes long.
Right.
But the looks on her face, I mean, she looks... that feeling, we've all had that feeling, like, I'm in trouble.
She probably thought
she
was past it.
Yeah. But also, if she did it, it's got to at least be a consideration because you probably were worried about getting caught for a while. You probably lost sleep over it a couple times at least. I mean, and depending on the personality.
No,
I would
think you did.
And now,
like 2 years, like you're kind of, all right, we're good.
Exactly. So now you're thinking, okay, well, what is this? I mean, I wonder what percentage of her thought this is that versus this is something else that I don't know anything about. They got the wrong person, whatever. All the other options.
A good percentage thought, I hope this isn't what I think.
Well, absolutely.
That's
I hope
it.
They got the wrong person. But man, does she look scared. Now she's, when they put her in the back of the car, so the husband is allowed to go, but he can't ride with her.
Right.
So they've got her handcuffed. Then they put her in the cop car. You know, they got those big plastic seats now. And they strap her into the plastic seat. So her hands are behind her back. She's all strapped in. And of course, they've got cameras in the cars now. And she's sitting there kind of looking out the window. I can only imagine how she's feeling. And then eventually she asked, You know, can you give me some idea?
Am I in trouble? Like, I'm so lost right now. I'm...
So it's hard to hear him, but he's saying, well, it's not my investigation, but we'll tell you when we get down there. But right now you're being detained, and you'll find out the rest
of
the information.
Do they have to tell you what you're being detained for?
I don't know. Apparently not. Because
sounds like they should.
I know. They just told her she's being detained. It's weird. Because she asked
I know they're not arresting her. He didn't say, he didn't read her rights or anything. So, and he's saying right now you're just being detained. I know you can be detained for a while, but I feel like they'd have to tell you why
some
you're being detained.
Seems like the right
they
thing
They just
to
can't
do.
Detain you for no reason. Like, that guy should have to tell her.
Well, like
I don't know
if
that'll come up in court or not, but it feels like they just can't pull you. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but it feels like the police have to tell you
she asked him
why they're detaining
you. Quite
him.
A few times. Like I said, I cut this way down, and there were several times when she asked him, he's like, it's not my investigation, but there is an investigation involving you. And I guess that's what he's saying, is there's an investigation that involves you, and we need to talk to you about it. But I can't give you more details than that. You'll get more details when we get down there. That's not much.
It feels like that was when they, I don't know, whatever. Well, I'm not a cop or a lawyer. It just feels like that when they want to do that, they call you.
Yeah.
Well, like, hey, come down, we want to talk to you. But
maybe they thought she'd run. I really don't know. They take her in. Obviously, they interrogate her. They interrogate her husband. That's where, during the interrogation, she says, you know, I'm just too good-looking. They're taking advantage of me. This kid blackmailed me. This kid's been harassing me. I don't remember the exact words she used, stalk, harass, but that this kid had been bothering her. And she says, my husband knows about this kid. He's been a problem. Well, the husband's in the other room, and when the cops go talk to him, allegedly, he says, they say, do you know who this kid is? And he's like, yeah, he plays soccer. What else do you know about him? Basically it. No story about being harassed or any of the stuff. So when she said, go ask my husband, he'll know.
Right.
He didn't know. Could be that he's also the husband, though, and doesn't listen very well and or forgot, you know, something that happened a couple years ago. I don't know. So all that happens, the interrogation.
Well, if she was being stalked, he would know.
Well, right. Maybe not stalked, but if this kid was harassing her, and if it was a couple years ago, I don't know, is it possible that this slips his mind when they're like, if she's like, this kid harasses me, is he like, eh, whatever, quit being dramatic. Yeah,
right.
At the time that she told him, I don't know. It's possible, but it does seem awfully suspicious that he didn't know anything other than the fact that this kid played soccer. She is a soccer coach. And so they leave the interrogation room or whatever. They go to transport her. They put her back in the car, and now you see the cameras from the car. It's dark out, and she gets in the car, and she's a wreck. I mean, just bawling. Absolutely sick.
Right. Sure you don't want a tissue or something?
I'm feeling I'm going to throw up.
A bag?
Yes, please.
All right. Shauna, can you grab which bag out of there? Hey, can you get, like, a bag just in case she gets nauseous?
I mean, she looks like she's hyperventilating. Through it all, the body cam footage from the officer's uniform, the camera in the police car, the camera in the police car after the interrogation, she is really hot. Seriously, when you watch the body cam footage, just keep in mind what this person's been accused of, and you go, golly. I mean, there's been some hot teachers, but
yeah,
you're right. This one is up
honest.
There. She's up there. I still think she's almost as hot as that local teacher that was so hot that was also some sort of cheerleading coach. But yeah, this one's she's darn close. Do you believe her?
No.
Not at all?
No.
No part of you?
No.
The thing is, I mean, this kid, the mom found it on the iCloud, right? So she finds this old stuff. He probably deleted it. So he wasn't trying to blackmail her with anything. These messages were just there in the iCloud, and he forgot about it, never thought about it, and his mom found it.
2 years later, she found it.
Yeah, that's a crazy thing, too, right? If this happened a couple years ago.
That's why she doesn't know.
The mom just scrolling through things. I think it's totally possible that in that moment.
She has no idea what you're talking about.
I think, depending on how scared she was of getting caught at the time, it is possible that it's one of the main things on her mind.
At this point, that kid didn't turn her in. There's been no conversation with the mom. She's probably talked to the kid.
Maybe,
but she doesn't think there's anything going on. She probably maybe still having sex with him.
Who knows?
Right. So I mean, maybe you're thinking, did they catch us? But you're not, right?
Yeah. She was.
I don't know. Especially if she had sex with him 2 years ago and nothing ever happened after that.
Right.
Then you clearly don't think that's like.
You think you're past it? You think you're past
stealing money out of a 7-Eleven, and 2 years later.
Yeah, no, I get it. You think you passed
gone.
It. But if it's something you've been real nervous about, then once the cops pull you over and they're being suspicious, I do think it crosses your mind. Could it be this? No, surely not. It's been too long, right?
But, yeah.
You know, she tutored this kid. I'm just saying, if we had tutors like that, I would have gone to summer school, my mom asked me. I would have gotten tutoring. I don't think that these young, hot ladies should be high school teachers. But tutors, maybe.
Okay.
Seriously. Okay. It could incentivize kids to go get that extra stunning. Help that they need.
She's stunning.
The Church of Laszlo.
What is a fetish? Sexual fetishism is a sexual fixation on an object or a body part.
That's not sexual?
Not generally considered sexual. I've heard that before. This says the object of interest is called the fetish. The person who has a fetish is called a fetishist. A sexual fetish may be regarded as a mental disorder, man, if it causes significant psychological distress for the person or has a detrimental effect on important areas of their life. So, if you're doing something illegal, that would be a mental disorder, sure. I guess, because that's causing problems for you and others. If it's getting in the way of leading a normal, happy, healthy life, then that would be a mental disorder. So I guess mine qualifies, right? It's too big. If it gets too big like that...
Well, it certainly causes mental anguish for the people you're with, your lovers.
True. So. True. At the very least, annoyance.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the fact that, that you can have a fetish and still be aroused without having that particular thing present. Some people can. If you have to have that particular thing present, then it becomes a bigger problem.
That's you.
And well, that, isn't that you too?
Well, I would prefer it for sure, but I don't need it.
Okay. I mean, I guess it depends on the situation. You know, there are ways to get around it, but they're unlikely.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right, sure.
I would just assume that you're kind of the same way. I mean, if you're in a long-term relationship, then I think it's like, hey, you know this about me.
Right.
You've been willing to do this for me, or we wouldn't have gotten into this long-term relationship to begin with. So if you suddenly stop, well, that's going to be tough. That's definitely going to be tough for me. I don't know. Could you get around that?
Well, not long-term,
yeah.
But certainly short-term.
Short-term, yeah, I think
so. And at the start of a relationship, sure.
But if all of a sudden, a couple years in, someone's like, I don't want to do that anymore. Like, ooh, boy.
Yeah, well, not anymore. Like, ever would be no good.
Exactly. Like, I'm not doing that ever again. I'm tired of it. It makes me feel weird. Like, ooh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. So, you know, there's lots of different definitions of fetishisms and the types of fetish. And then there's, of course, like objects of the body or different parts of the body. The foot fetish is the most popular, I think, and that's called partialism, which I didn't know. So if you're obsessed with hands, feet, legs, whatever. And then you can also be into a specific type of sex, which they say is a broader term for fetish. That covers things like, you know, you're just into BDSM, the type of sex that we're going to have. Or maybe you're into someone who smokes. You like watching someone smoke. That's a fetish. I think you said once.
I don't mind smoking. That.
And don't you also, at least I thought at some point you said that you kind of like the demeaning videos that
I'm not opposed to it.
You're not opposed to it.
Right.
Whereas I was like, why are they doing this? They keep making fun of me. And you're like, no. Yeah, keep calling me names.
Yeah, I like it.
Keep saying it's small. Keep saying whatever. Well, a police sergeant in Vegas is in a lot of trouble for doing what he said was fulfilling a fetish. I'm sorry, but you can't do this. I mean, sometimes you got to look at what your fetish is and go, yep, can't do that because that's illegal. You're going to have to, you can pretend. Sometimes you can get someone to go along and role play and do those things. And if that's not going to work, then you're just going to have to.
You're in trouble.
You're going to have to get away
from it. It's hard, too. What are you going to do? Like, what if your fetish is paying for sex?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And it's illegal where you are. I mean.
Right. Like, okay, just take ours as an example. So I have a nylons fetish.
Mm-hmm.
When I was young, when I was in high school, it's not like I was able to get girls easily to just come over, put on nice nylons. And so it was more of a thing that I saw in pornography. So it was still really a fantasy. And then I lived out that fantasy through pornography. Then with my girlfriend,
she wasn't wearing
them.
Right.
Then, eventually old enough, whatever, and maybe she puts them on. But most of the time, my actual sex life did not involve it. It was something that so I would think that if it's something that's going to be illegal or where there's going to be a victim of some sort, then you go, okay, well, I'm just going to have to keep this fantasy. The problem is there, depending on what it is, it could also be illegal to look up the porn. Now, I remember a guy, and I don't want to give too many details, but people who lived in Kansas City a long time, some people may be familiar with the story, but there was a guy, I knew him a little bit, and I don't want to give too many details about him, but he had like an apartment that he rented, a place in the Westport area. And this was in the news at the time. But he had this place that he was renting, and he rented it to a girl. And she got suspicious one day because I can't remember if she found a cord or thought that her shower head looked weird, something. Okay. So she called, I think, the police. Don't quote me on this part. But she alerted someone. They come over, and I think they found cameras, they found cords, something. Right. And eventually they were able to find like a computer or hard drive. And they found that this guy had hidden cameras around this place, and then he would rent it to girls, and then he could see them in the shower, in the bathroom, or whatever. Now, I assume that that guy, it wasn't just about, I want to see a chick naked, because he could do that easily on the internet.
Sure.
He could even go to a strip club.
Spying on him.
It was specifically the act of, I'm spying on them.
Sure.
And I don't know where that comes from. I don't know.
Who knows?
I mean, it's just like, you got kids, you got to be so nervous, although there's nothing you can do about it, because you know that those wires can get crossed at a very young age, and you just hope that your kid doesn't come across something at a young age that crosses those wires where they end up with
in prison,
very unhealthy fetish,
that's a normal one
in prison. So this Las Vegas Metro Police Department sergeant has been accused of abusing his police powers. He's now facing additional allegations in a new indictment. It says, according to Channel 13 there in Vegas, they learned that Kevin, I'll just call him Kevin, is now accused of 28 counts of capturing an image of the private area of another person, which is a gross misdemeanor in Nevada. That kind of surprised me. I would have thought if you surreptitiously record someone's privates with the intent of recording their privates, that's probably a felony, right? I don't know. Is it gross misdemeanor? What, you think?
I don't know.
That doesn't automatically sound like a...
I'm just trying to think of what it could be like differently, you know?
Yeah. If the intent is to record your privates without you knowing... Yeah, I feel like that's a felony.
Maybe there's something that somebody could tell me, like, well, no, it would also include this, which isn't that big of a deal.
Yeah, it says that this guy did... When I read the story, it reminded me a lot of that Kansas City story from years back, because this guy was hiding cameras in the vents of the bathroom at his house, and apparently... filming.
We just watched Las Vegas Metro Police Sergeant turn himself in jail here after a judge issued a warrant. Prosecutors say he installed cameras in his private bathroom to watch his wife and sister-in-law use the toilet.
The thing that we discovered was that one of the things that Kevin Menon has a fetish for is pornography involving peeing and urination.
Peeing and urination.
Okay.
So it's when they say... he was trying to film them using the toilet, where I go, use the toilet. Now, also, like, when they're like, he was recording his wife, I'm like, why would you do that? But they say sister-in-law, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess you don't get to see her, so.
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
That's just an unhealthy fetish, and I don't know.
Most of your fetishes probably don't include your wife.
Not usually. Now, your wife can help you.
Well, that's the thing. He probably just could have asked his wife to let me watch you pee, but maybe that wouldn't have been.
Then
part
that
of
doesn't
fetish.
Fit, right? Because the fetish is
he
probably
wants to sneak on her. Maybe
has to be that I'm spying, right? It has to be that she doesn't know, and it's too bad.
But I mean, all right. So the sister-in-law, I get. Let's just take her out of the picture. If you're the wife, are you like, if everything else is good in your relationship,
yeah, if it was just
right?
the wife involved,
and then she sees the camera, and she's like, "What?" He's like, "I'm so sorry, but you know, it turns me on to watch you pee." All right.
Yeah.
Sorry, I brought up the camera. Like, right? Like, I don't know.
It's embarrassing for him.
Right.
But fetishes can often be embarrassing.
They're married, everything's fine. Like, I'm not saying that he shouldn't get in trouble for it. And if it bothers her, then that's, you know, obviously. But, I don't know. Like,
and then
if your wife was like, you know, if there's a camera in there and she's like, I turn it on when you're peeing and it turns me on, we'd be like, well, I'm sorry I brought it up.
Yeah, it's a very uncomfortable conversation to have. I mean, the other part of that, though, I don't know why, but is it watching, like, is P what you're watching? Are you being serious about that part? Or,
yeah, I don't know.
Because if it's the other thing that you're into, for some reason that seems worse, even though it shouldn't be. I just think you're even weirder now. But
right,
the whole
I
thing's
agree.
Weird. I mean, you obviously violated my trust by sticking this camera on the bidet nozzle or wherever you stuck this camera. So it's not, none of it's good. But I also understand that I can't help you fulfill it if the whole point of the fetish is that I don't know that I'm being filmed. I don't know, man. It's just like, If you have, there are certain fantasies.
But would it be that big of a deal? Like, take just sister-in-law out of it. Is it that big of a deal?
For the wife, no.
No, it's not, right?
It's not. It's not. This guy's in trouble for other stuff. So, and they went through and found stuff on his computers, and they found worse stuff, it sounds like. So this guy's in trouble for lots of things. But the actual act of putting a camera in the bathroom and then filming your wife going to the bathroom, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
When she brings it up at dinner.
And she may divorce you, but it doesn't seem like.
Really, though?
I mean, she might.
Yeah, even if she likes you, though.
But if she likes you and everything's good, maybe not. But I don't know. Maybe she has some weird aversion for sex, right? Like, maybe she's. We're both very religious. Maybe she. It could be grounds for divorce. I just don't know if you're. If you're taping your wife pee. Like.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's. Look, it's not right. You probably. You know, if she was really mad, you could get in trouble, I guess. But. It doesn't seem like a jailable offense.
No.
Especially with, how easy cameras are. Like, if your wife was like, I like to, I hit a camera, and I know it's different, but I hit a camera in the living room, and I like it, when you play video games, I masturbate to it. Like, well you should have told me about the camera. Like, I don't know.
I'm with you.
The peeing's different, and the privates are different.
If it's at your house, and it's your wife or your girlfriend or in your bathroom, then yes. This guy's in trouble for other stuff, too, so,
She's like, well, why couldn't you just tell me? Like, because, part of it's not telling you.
Right. The sister-in-law I get is bad, and then if you've got strangers and all this other stuff that he's been accused of, that's bad. And I should tell you, too, that this guy, I told you he's a cop. He's alleged previously, at least, that he is being basically taken down by this department because he had, like a whistleblower, he had accused this department of racist practices and things like that.
Right.
Previously, and then this stuff started to come out. So he's claiming they're coming after me, they're setting me up because I exposed them and told everyone that there's bad stuff going on in this department and that they're racist and they're coming after me. Like, is that really a possibility? Is that something that happens in the real world? Or is that...
Of course. Of course, in Vegas, both can be true.
Like, that's the thing you go with, though. Like, if you're trying to get back at this guy, like, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll stick cameras in his bathroom and say that he was watching people pee. It seems like there's easier ways to make it look
bad. I would think it would be more
bad,
like, you messed with us and we know you do this.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, okay.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, you messed with us, now we're going to expose you. We figured out what you do, you freak, and now we're going to expose you. It's not, we put the camera there. I don't think anybody's saying that.
That's why you got to get in front of it, like you always say.
Exactly.
Just tell people, look, yes, I like it.
But you can't tell them. Like, it would be easy for you to say, I have a pantyhose fetish. I like women to pee on me. Whatever. Get in front of it, right?
Yeah.
Whatever your fetish is, I want to marry an inanimate object. Whatever. But the myriad of ones, feet, whatever you're into, and you know what it is. I don't know what it is. It's your thing. As you're driving in your car, you're like, oh, yeah, he's talking about my
thing. Lipstick on.
All right, and you don't want to talk about it, but you're like, oh, I know my thing. It's in the back of your head. I have that thing.
Eyeliner.
Well, if you just own up to it, then it's fine. The problem with his thing is that owning up to it ruins the thing.
It totally ruins it. Yeah, I know. That's the problem.
Right.
That's the problem.
And we stuck.
You're just, what are you going to do?
Because he likes spying on people.
Right.
So now he's stuck.
Yep. So, sorry.
And even though they make millions of those videos, he knows they're not really spying.
Yeah.
So it doesn't work. Like, it probably worked for a while.
And the ones that are spying are technically illegal, so.
Right. So, like, I put a camera in, a changing room, but, it's not real.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep, so. Doesn't work. Sorry, dude.
Right.
Sorry.
All right, what's going up in price?
So, yesterday was the Liberation Day, and we talked about it a little bit during the news yesterday, but the problem was that I think Trump was out in the Rose Garden with unveiling the big chart with all the different things while we were on the air, so he didn't have exact numbers. I mean, he was giving percentages, like the percentage tariff that they're assigning to each country, and it seemed like just about every country got hit with one. The lowest seemed to be about 10%, like the UK, I think, got 10%.
Okay.
So that's low. Then it can go up into the 30s and maybe even higher than that. But I was looking, like, there's all these exceptions, or there had been exceptions, like stuff that was mailed from China. So I guess if you ordered something from, like, Sheen or Temu or one of those, you could get around those tariffs. And now they've specifically said, no, those are part of the tariffs. So, hold on, I'm going to play this clip real quick.
It's our declaration of economic independence.
The president announcing an across-the-board minimum 10% tariff on all trading partners except Canada and Mexico. The tax on imports affecting everything from clothing and computers to TVs and toys. China now facing a staggering new 34% tariff on its goods, on top of a 20% tariff already levied.
Do not retaliate. Sit back. Take it in.
That's the Treasury Secretary saying, do not retaliate. He's telling other countries. Yeah, just other countries. Yeah. Do not retaliate. Mm-hmm. Sit back. Take it in.
Again.
You've heard that one before. Take it in. So what should you buy? Well, I mean,
now it's just real quick, it said, except Canada and Mexico. What's
because they've already got their big tariff.
Okay,
there was no, I guess,
there's no added number.
They didn't. Okay. Yeah, and I don't know what the deal is if there's, because he talked about having more tariffs with them, whatever retaliatory, whatever. But yes, they said that was because those had sort of been assigned. So I don't know what's going on there. The car thing was the one that we knew because they said 25% on imported cars and then any parts that are imported. But the thing is, the parts thing doesn't go into effect. I think the car thing goes into effect today, maybe. The parts thing you've got until sometime in May, supposedly, you know, if all this stands up. But remember when car prices got real expensive right after COVID? I don't know, like 2021, when we were looking at used cars. And you would drive by a car dealership and they were empty. There's nobody there.
Really.
And the big thing was that we were like, maybe we should sell or trade our cars. Because these dealerships were willing to give you a fortune if you drove your car. They're like, you and I both did the CarMax thing where we put in the estimator to see what we could get. And it seemed great. The problem is, you know, you couldn't really buy anything because there was nothing out there. Then prices went way down. They've been way cheap. I've been looking at cars, and I waited too long. Because now the cars have already gone up. But on top of that, stuff like if you want a new TV. Think about it. Yeah, because I've got a Hisense. It's made in China. I don't know how many times. Maybe that stuff goes across the board. I don't even know. But if you were looking and you'd been thinking about it, you've been kind of doing the...
What are they telling us to buy?
They haven't necessarily gone up yet that I'm seeing, because all of this stuff is they're going to go up right now. The car prices have already started to go up according to this. Like the values of your car have started to go up, used cars, and the cars on dealership lots are already starting to go up. But things that you... If you want to buy them, well, you should try and buy that TV. If you can go to Target or Best Buy, if you need a computer, any type of electronics, basically, if you can go to an electronics store or go on Amazon and it's still the same price and you've been thinking about it, they're saying go ahead and buy it. You know, your kid wants AirPods or whatever. Right. It seems like just about everything electronics-wise. If you want clothes, if you look at the tariff list, I mean, he put all these countries like Vietnam and Bangladesh and all this stuff on there that a lot of our clothes or maybe most of our clothes are manufactured in. So they said if you want clothes, buy them while you can, but you may go right now online and find out that these prices are already higher. You may go and try and buy something.
Well,
and find
how long will it take for them to run out of supply?
The
TVs are already here, so I can't imagine that price would go up until they're all gone.
Right, unless they decided, then it would have to be like a company-wide thing. Hey, because we're going
to
have trouble
getting
money,
raise the price.
We're going to have to.
But haven't they already sold them to Amazon? You see what I'm saying?
Yes, so Best Buy has inventory
that
they've already purchased.
Right.
So Best Buy would have to say, company-wide, basically, hey, you know what? I think we're going to raise the price on our website and in stores for this and this and this because they're going to be harder to get. But I don't... And car dealerships may already be doing that, but that's probably not going to happen in a big box store. It's more likely when they run out. The thing is, you said, how long does the supply last? It depends on what it is and where it is. Like with cars, they've been trying to build up an extra supply, but they say even with a big extra inventory, about as much as they can build up is 30 days.
Okay.
So they know that the car supply is only good for a month. That being said,
Hisense TVs, who knows?
Doesn't mean that they wait 30 days to raise the price of those cars, knowing that they're going to run out in 30 days, and knowing that they might be able to get more from now than they could yesterday. I mean, they said the price of food will go up, which is good because food, I felt like, has been real cheap lately, you know?
It's so even cheap. High. Ridiculous.
I mean, fruit and produce and all that stuff, it's
damn near free.
I feel like I'm stealing. I really do. I feel like I'm stealing. Alcohol will get hit big time because these are part of... You've got tariffs. You already had tariffs and duties.
I'll tell you what, is that Church of Laszlo vodka. You go get that now. Stock up on it.
Yeah, stock up all you can because, you know, I don't know what we're going to do about it in the future. It seems like the real thing if you were in the market for something, if you needed to buy new clothes for work soon, if you wanted to buy some sort of electronics, God forbid if you wanted to buy a car. I mean, really, though, if you wanted to buy a car, I guess they're saying, like, go right now. Hope that the dealership hasn't marked up the prices too much, or that maybe they haven't even marked it up at all, and right. You can still get a deal. Because if this stuff stays in place, then we're talking about huge, huge, drastically increased prices for, I don't know what a pair of jeans cost on Shein, right?
Right, but it's going to be a lot more.
But it's going to be a lot more. It would be like twice as much, almost certain.
But nothing's gone up today yet, so go get it.
They've said that some things have started to go up in price, like cars have started to go up in price. But insofar as if you order something from China right now, if you were to go on Temu or one of those websites where I think you're ordering it from there, I think the price is going up.
Okay.
And I think it has because we started those tariffs against China. That was an early tariff war.
Don't retaliate. Don't put more tariffs on us.
I know. He said, don't retaliate. Just take it.
Do not retaliate. Sit back. Take it in.
Sit back. Take it in.
The Church. The Church of Laszlo.
You want to hear some British woman make fun of how we talk?
Yeah.
She lives in Michigan. She married some guy in Michigan, and I guess she's been here for a while. I don't know. She's on TikTok. This was from TikTok. I didn't see it on TikTok because I don't have TikTok. I saw it on Instagram. But speaking of, did you see that? Did I tell you that Jeff Bezos or Amazon wants to buy TikTok? That was like, that was a big story yesterday. I mean, that makes sense. Because when they were talking about how expensive
it would be.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, the other day you admitted that you subscribed to some streaming service. I don't remember if it was Hulu or what it was. And you and I have disagreed about the commercials on the streaming platforms before, and that you finally got one of them where you're like, okay, these commercials are annoying.
So, like, the Amazon commercials aren't bad. The Disney ones, it's the Hulu.
Yeah.
And so that's what you watch a lot, and then I realized, I'm like, it's the same commercial every time.
That was the one
time
I complained about.
And they stop a lot.
It was a lot of breaks, and it was the same kind of Ozempic commercials, whatever.
The Amazon one was just like, basically, like, here's a minute and a half at the beginning, and then you're good.
I got rid of the Amazon ones shortly after they implemented it, but I remember when they started it, it felt like it was, I think it was a taxing. Like,
Amazon even gives you a thing to do, thumbs up or thumbs down.
Oh, I don't remember.
On the commercial, and then it's like, okay, you didn't like this commercial. We'll try to find some more that suit you.
Oh, well, that gets to my point because
right. So a lot of mine are like movie trailers now and stuff.
When I was telling Brooke, I was like, yeah, I guess Laszlo finally agreed with me on the commercial thing because it was Hulu that has the annoying commercials, and Brooke was like, the thing about commercials is if they would just do it like Instagram, and the commercials were targeted at me, love it. Like, show me all the commercials you want, because I go on Instagram. I'm like, you're right.
Yeah.
So if Amazon bought TikTok and could get all that data about me and then know, hey, because if I could also save money by subscribing to the plan with commercials, whether it's Netflix, Hulu.
And then the commercials were relevant, it'd be good.
Yeah, and then if you show me stuff that I'm interested in, then that would be totally different. But when you show me the same commercial for extending your life when you have terminal cancer over and over and over, it's like, well, that doesn't help me. Anyhow, this British woman, she moved to Michigan. She's lived there a while, and she was sharing things that she thinks are funny that we say. And I was like, okay, I want to know what they are. I'm curious.
My absolute favorite is, good job. Then it's got to be, you're all set. I love hearing y'all. My husband says this all the time. Get a hold. Got to get a hold of someone.
They don't say that? You know, there's some of those where you go, you don't say get a hold of someone.
Another absolute favorite is liquor. And on another foot is stove. I love stove because Brits just call it a cookie. Another favorite is the, like as if saying, interesting. I love that. And another one is, have a good one.
Okay, so, you know, that stands out to you? I mean, look, when you watch a British show, you go, oh, that's funny.
Right.
We don't say it like that.
Right.
But I got to be honest. I'll just admit it.
Right. Why don't you get a hold of this 10% tariff, bitch?
That's right. That's why she moved here.
Mm-hmm. You like that?
It took me a while to understand what she was like.
Maybe I'll put more tariffs on you.
When she said liquor, I will admit that I was like, what is she talking about?
Liquor. Booze.
Yeah, booze. Yeah, liquor. But I really expected her to say ope. She didn't say ope. That wasn't one of the things. Get old stuff. All right. I thought she was going to make fun of us, and I was going to tell her, you know, I don't know, something about tariffs or brush. I don't know what you make fun of British people for, but I'll think of something. But I guess she's okay.
The Church of Laszlo.
All right, that's it. We're done, right?
We're done.
All right. Have a good day, my friend.
You too. Oh, right. It's your son's birthday. That's right. 14th
birthday. Good show, Happy Chacho. Birthday. Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.